While she's going down on him, she grabs his sack and, quote, Mary treated them like the most delicate ornaments, the most unique snowflakes.
She just held them?
Well, I mean, she fondles them. Hello.
Hey, everyone.
Welcome to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
Knowing that you're here fills me with holiday cheer. Don't worry about me, though. That's Sarah, and she loves books.
Well, don't worry about me, because that's Hope, and she loves talking to me about books. Each episode, I break down the plots of some pretty wild books to Hope, who has not read them. And for those who don't know, she also is asked to do some research on a topic she doesn't know how it integrates. A few quick surface announcements before we dive into our book today. As you guys know, we are coming to the end of the year, which means we are tired. We're so tired. We have full-time jobs. We've got families. We got friends. We've got holiday cheer to spread ourselves.
At the same time, we are sick. We are tired. And we are sick and tired.
We are so sick
and tired.
We are so sick and so tired this week. But we're not sick and tired of you. We only need to finish out this year. And then we are going to go on a hiatus for the month of January, as we typically do.
Woohoo.
So we will finish out this month of episodes, and we'll do kind of our year-end wrap-ups with both Hope and I. And then our friend Liz will come on, and we will chat about books to put on your TBRs, RRs. So with that said, if you are not following us already, follow us on TikTok for however long we still have that. Who knows?
Mystery.
We don't know what's going to happen. But if you don't want to follow us on there, you can follow us on Instagram at Say Smut Podcast. And if you do so, we might throw out a giveaway.
We might.
You know, for the holiday season, we have some stuff we could throw out there. So go and follow us there, and you'll get our updates on when we'll return in February too. So with that said, Hope, you're feeling a little down in the dumps today. You're feeling a little under the weather.
Yeah, I've got a fresh batch of Coco V floating around in my house. So
yeah. Well, I'm feeling personally, you know, a little naughty.
Ooh.
And today,
Sarah, I've got a headache, but go ahead.
I am going to tell you the tale of Naughty Mrs. Claus by Lilith K. Durant.
Ooh.
How do you feel about that?
I feel very good about that. Yes.
Well, even better is to know that it is an extremely fast-paced book of 20 pages.
I think that's less than our last book.
It was less. I think the least amount we've ever had was 13 pages, and it was Come Cookies and Cream, which is one of our top listen to episodes.
Interesting, because it was only a handful of pages, but it felt like
it was 13 pages. Yeah. I want to look up what episode number that is. Just because I want to shout it out. We had some really good stuff last season. Let me get this up here. Give me 30 more seconds to give it a quick glance.
Yes. If you're due for a little more holiday cheer, look no further than our backlog of episodes.
We're almost at 50 episodes.
Which is really exciting, first of all.
So last year we did Come Cookies and Cream by J.B. Carter. It's episode 18. We also did A Merry Little Meet Cute by Julie Murphy and Sierra Simone. The third one just came out in that series, and I love the third one the most. And then we did The Naughty List by Ellie Mae McGregor. And so those are episodes 18 through 20. Go back and give those a listen. But in the here and now, in the moment, we're also going to get naughty, because we're going to tell the tale of Mrs. Mary Claus.
Ooh.
Now, before I do, some content warnings. We do have sexual content, and it predominantly has to do with BDSM type behaviors. Okay.
This tracks for me already.
Yes. And we will always and forever remind people that when consent is questionable in books, we always say consent is not questionable in reality.
No.
It is super sexy to give consent.
Gotta have that consent.
We might not always have clear consent in the books. This one is kind of a gray area until we get to the end, and you'll see why. But just so you always know, we condone consent, consent, consent.
Always.
So the naughty list, or sorry, not the naughty list, too many naughties. Naughty Mrs. Claus has a 3.3 on StoryGraph and a 4 on Goodreads.
Oh, wow. So,
and I think you're going to like it. I, for 20 pages, it's got quite the lineup of activities. So about our author, this is from her website, Lilith K. Durrett, has been watching porn for as long as the nature shows have broadcast lions mating, scrambled images could be deciphered, and Girls Gone Wild was an infomercial order. She'd sneak late night near muted HBO viewing sessions, channel charger in the death grip, one ear perked to sounds of the house. Now she writes erotica, which is like maybe one of the most.
It's an incredible origin story.
Yeah, no, but it's so relatable when you are trying to figure out sexuality as a kid and right. You're like, not a kid, but like a teenager.
Yeah, just as you're growing up in general.
Yeah, you're like, how do I explore this with people in the home that I don't want to know that I'm exploring this? But that's iconic for you to.
So funny.
The Lilith, thank you. But let's head into our story. I would love to introduce you to the woman behind the man, Mrs. Mary Claus. She has the body of an 18-year-old, even though her and her husband have been together for centuries. Okay. That's the real Christmas magic, in my opinion.
Don't think that's the age of body I would have specifically picked. I'd have gotten a little older, but that's fine.
Yeah, personally I would have too, but you know, I guess she's rocking it. And like I said, her and her husband have been together for centuries, so it's not like she's underage. She just has the body of an 18-year-old.
Right. Yeah.
Her hair has gone white.
Great.
But when she puts it up in a bun, she looks like a sexy librarian than a matronly figure.
Sure. Elderly. No, she has to be hot in the way that society likes. She can't just be a hot old lady, God forbid.
You know what? What I'm going to do next is I'm going to find another smut book. Maybe not next, because I do have a couple lined up. But in the new year, I will find a smut book that has to do with older people.
Yes.
We need to think about age in a whole new way. Aging is sexy. Aging is natural. But I'll get off that soapbox for now. Because our girl is the best wife there ever could be. You're a wife.
This is true.
Do you feel like you're the best wife that ever could be?
Well, clearly not, because that's Miss Mary Claus. I have a clarifying question for you.
Yes. Okay.
Since I didn't physically read the book, is her name spelled M-A? Or M-E? How's her name spelled?
That is a great question. It's M-A-R-Y, the traditional.
Okay,
but it would have been excellent if they did M-E-R-R-Y. So, like I said, Mary, excellent wife. She does everything she can to support her husband. She believes that bringing Christmas cheer and happiness to children is the best thing you can do. It's the best job. And her way of doing that is supporting the North Pole and supporting her husband. And that's awesome, right?
Yeah.
So when we start the book, we enter on her sending off her husband to work. He's going to have to work a really long shift in the evening at the factories to make sure that everything is on schedule, right? And she hands him his little lunchbox, which has his little roast beef sandwich in it. It's got a little chocolate chip muffin for dessert. And she gives him a little cute Eskimo kiss on his way out. And like he said, he's like, you know, I'm sorry. I'm probably going to be at the factory all night, but your present should be ready soon.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So she closes the door and she does one of those and she like rushes to the office because she's got to erase some things from the list.
Oh.
Hope, if you were going to erase something from the list that Santa checks twice to see if you are good or bad for the year, what would you erase from your year so far?
Like things that would put me on the list, you mean?
Yeah, like what maybe naughty things have you done this year? Would you be like, oh, I'd scratch that one off?
I mean, I never claimed to be a great person.
I would say you're a very great person, Hope. I have like a slew of things. Like, I once rolled my eyes at my boss, which was like maybe the worst thing I've ever done in my career. And it was like me just being fed up. I wish I could erase that from the list. That one was pretty bad.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, no, that haunts me. That's what, like, I stay up at night and think about that way too much.
I don't have a specific instance, but you can count on me every year to flip a lot of people off while I'm driving. And for that, I would certainly be on a naughty list.
Look, I am all about being super passive aggressive as a driver or laying on the horn. But I recently was listening to a podcast of some LA natives who were like, you don't fucking do that in LA with how many people own guns. And I was like, you know what? That's a good point. And we live in the Midwest and people are very nice in the Midwest for the most part. But people own a lot of guns here.
Also true.
People can get kind of crazy here.
I don't recommend it. It'll put you on Santa's naughty list, and then you have to sneak in and erase it. Although something tells me that's not why Mrs. Mary Claus is sneaking off to erase things from the list.
If you were to guess what she's trying to erase off the list, what do you think it is? One guess.
I guess, well, point of clarification, does this list specifically detail the things you have done?
Yes.
Like why you are naughty?
Yes.
I mean, I assume based on the fact that this is a several pages smut book that Mrs. Claus has been being a freak and she's trying to erase that from her own entry in a naughty list.
You are not incorrect. So sometimes she gets the urge when she's been kind of pent up, a little cabin feverish, she gets the urge to be a little naughty. So it starts with things like accidentally giving the elves a little peek up her skirt, or she forgets to close the windows when she showers.
It's horny.
Her recent most daring thing yet was that she masturbated on the patio of their cottage that overlooks the elven factory. So, a little voyeurism, maybe.
Yeah, I guess that's naughty.
Yeah. So she goes to the book, heaves it open because it's a massive thing. Mm-hmm. And she finds her name on the list and she starts erasing things. Like, for example, masturbating with a candy cane. Whoops. Take that off the list.
Mrs. Claus, there are dildos. Do not put candy canes in your orifices. Don't do it. Stop doing it.
Also on the list, autoerotic asphyxiation with a red ribbon.
That's That's what she likes. And I don't know that it's particularly safe, but I don't feel like it should put her specifically on the naughty list. Unless it's like a fun, kinky naughty list, in which case, yeah.
Here's what I'll say. As she's erasing things, she's kind of thinking about how she wished she could be truly good for her husband. And like maybe in her mind, that means like missionary style, once a month type of shit. But we all think that almost all sex is good sex here at Say Smut. Mm-hmm. But her husband is just so busy. And he also has like this kind of childlike wonder and kind of this kindness and cheeriness that doesn't leave a lot of room for her to do the naughty things she wants to do. Okay.
No, I have a already running theory here.
Okay.
Do you want me to say it or do you want me to hold on to it?
Well, let me get past my next statement and then you can share it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So while she's working on at all deleting these things, the warm hearth behind her suddenly goes cold and the room turns to a freezing temperature and a shadow casts itself over where she had been working at the desk and she turns around expecting to see her husband, but it's not him.
Mm-mm.
Quote, what stood there was a hulking figure in a black robe lined with dusk gray fur. The hood was up, obscuring most of the face in shadow, but two massive curved horns broke through the fabric. Long, scraggly black hair drooped out of the hood like a torn window dressings. The face, what Mary could see of it, was devilish, demonic, or maybe merely animalistic. Around his neck, hanging like scarves, I think I meant to write, and a few draped over his horns was a tangle of chains decorated with dirging ringing bells. I don't know what I meant to write there. Who knows? Also, I should note now that this man has claws and hooves. Would you like to tell our audience who this is?
It's a Krampus.
It is Krampus. Would you like to give us your research on Krampus?
Yes. Welcome to Get Ready, because this research is giving Krampussy.
That might be one of your best ones yet. No, that is an excellent one.
Mere moments ago, because I was previously too tired to come up with something creative. But then in the final hours, inspiration struck.
I love it.
Thank you so much to Nat Geo and sci-fi and history.com. And also, this will go pretty quick and it won't really involve detail, but I guess trigger warning because kidnapping and child abuse.
Oh, there's always some of that in the Christmas tales.
Yes. That's true. The what is Christmas without scary ghost stories?
Yeah.
After all. So the Krampus comes to us generally from like Germany, Austria. Over there, they are terrified of the beastly Krampus. Krampus, I saw in all of my sources, is a German word based on the German word Krampen for claw. But if you do try and look that up, it will just tell you that it's Dutch for cramp. So I don't know what to tell you. But cramp. Everybody insisted that it was German for claw. So we're just going to run with it because obviously a Krampus, as you've heard already, has claws.
Yes.
Krampus started humbly as a pagan feature of the winter solstice in Austrian folklore, but didn't stay that way for very long. Regardless, I hate to stereotype Krampus because Krampus to me comes in a host of beautiful shapes and sizes, but pretty much across the board is devil coated, half man, half goat, usually black fur, usually long horns, sometimes depicted with a long, creepy tongue, definitely some hooves. I saw some images with him with chains. Sometimes he has switches on him because he hits kids.
I am so glad you mentioned that because I specifically wanted to know that part. Okay, yes, we'll come back to that later.
Which I don't love it, but something tells me that Mrs. Claus probably will. I don't know how long the Krampus was kept strictly pagan before it kind of got Christianity-ified and tied into spirit and became kind of intertwined as a Christmassy thing. But now, widely, Krampus is regarded as like the yin to Santa Claus's yang, to St. Nicholas's yang. Almost not enemies to lovers because they don't fall in love, but they're diametrically opposed.
Great book.
That would be a great book. And honestly, non-zero chance that it already is. And we
it probably already
it.
Is a thing. And we'll find it.
Email us about it so that we can read it.
We'll find it.
Thank you. Anyway, so where Santa, you know, is kind and gives his candy and stuff and toys for being good, Krampus will swat bad kids and kidnap them and take them into his lair.
Oh.
Yeah, put them right in a bag and just take them to his lair. I don't even know what happens after that, but it's bad. So Krampus comes on December 5th on Krampus Nacht. And then the next day, December 6th, is the Feast of St. Nicholas. So hopefully you didn't get kidnapped on the 5th, because on the 6th is when you get your classic Santa coming. Presently, there are like what are essentially Krampus runs that are celebrated all over. Some more
because nothing is more demonic than making people run during the holidays. You could not tell me if I marry into a family that does runs during like Thanksgiving or Christmas or anything, please take me out.
Sure.
Take me out now. Okay.
Tell me if you think this is better or worse, because sometimes they're more family friendly and sometimes they're not, but pretty much each version involves people dressing up Krampusy and devilly and chasing people.
Oh,
and sometimes
no.
Sometimes the Krampusy people are drunk. So I'm gonna say honestly worse than just running a 5K, because that's something everyone's doing for fun. But this is like get chased by the Krampus.
Hold on. Do you think it's worse to have like horror scary corn maze like we've discussed in the past where they kind of chase you around the corn maze, or that run that you just described with Krampus's running?
I don't love Krampus's running, and the reason I don't love Krampus's running is because normally in my experience in like a spooky corn maze, the employees should be sober. You know, like to the extent that employees of a corn maze can be sober, but like this is just random people coming together and some of them show up dressed as Krampus, and in some cases it's a bunch of drunk men dressed as Krampus. So I do not fuck with that.
Men alone, scary.
Don't fuck with
drunk men, extremely scary. Drunk men dressed up as Krampus? Horrifying.
Would you rather stay with a man dressed as Krampus or a bear dressed as Krampus?
A bear.
Yeah, me too.
100%. No, but also the concept, if we're comparing the two elements, first of all, when you're in a corn maze, there's an element of like you could hide or it's a single thing that's coming after you. The idea of like multiple people dressed up as like a demonic Christmas character running after you is horrifying. Yeah,
it's a
on a level I can't even fathom. Okay, sorry, we can get back to the topic.
That is okay. It's a big no thank you. All of that to say, it seems generally that Krampus started out as a cool pagan tradition and then got Christianity and commandeered into a story generally to make kids be good for Christmas. I would say like you need to have a balance out to Santa to make sure that kids behave so that they don't just be naughty. And then
because coal isn't enough.
No, threaten their lives. As a fun fact, Krampus really blew up with the postcard industry in Germany and Austria in the 1890s. Everybody needed postcards because, you know, stay on mail. And around the holiday, Gruss vom Krampus or greetings from Krampus cards became popular.
Shut up.
Yeah. Just like silly little like.
Imagine sending that to a child that believes in Krampus and then you're like just terrifying.
Like,
like,
I'm watching you. Me, Krampus, space in my bag just for you.
Yeah, reserved.
Last but certainly not least, obviously, my favorite Krampus is Klaus the Powerhouse Bauer from Monster Pucker by Cleo Evans and Ashley Bennett. Thank you. That's okay. The end of my research.
Wait, hold on. Which episode is that? I need to pull it up.
I should have checked.
Hold on. Monster Pucker was episode 36, which has a trio of lovers, two of which are hockey players, monster hockey players. So
yeah, honestly, add that to your holiday listen if you haven't listened to it already, because it's winter the whole time.
And we did it in July, which we were kind of like, Christmas in July, let's do it,
you know.
But it was a good freaking time. And I was trying to remember when I told you to research Krampus if I did it for that one. And so I remember I did the NHL for that one.
Yes.
So no, enjoy. Please go back and listen to that. That was a good time. Do you have sources you want to shout out at all? Or did you already shout them out?
I shouted them at the top, but I'll shout them out again. Thanks to Nat Geo and scifiandhistory.com for Who is Krampus? Explaining the horrific Christmas beats, The Legend of Krampus, and Explainer, and Meet Krampus, the Christmas devil who punishes naughty children.
Yeah, as somebody who's Dutch, and I'm sure I did this in an episode last year, our tale is that Sinterklaas will take you in a bag and bring you back to Spain to work off your penance for the year. So like the whole kidnapping thing, I feel like just kind of comes around.
Yeah. You know?
Yep. Well, let's jump back in because we've got Krampus in our office, in our husband's office, technically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's telling her she's a bad, bad girl.
Yep.
And she's like, but I erased my deeds. And he's
first of all, not how that works.
Naughty girls lie and it's time for you to be punished. So he pulls out of his sack a bundle of sticks that are held together by a thick leather cord. And I didn't understand when this happened, like where this came from, because I was like, I've never known Krampus to just be a little woodworker with his little sticks that he keeps on him. But now I'm glad you brought this up.
For his bitches.
So then here brings up the next problem. He, to set the scene, he whips out of her chest, in which the bundle of sticks breaks the strap on her cooking apron and lets it kind of fall loose. And then he does it again and it slashes the buttons of her sweater. And of course, that makes her boobs fall out.
Naturally.
And so she isn't wearing a bra, which, by the way, wasn't her trying to be naughty. She actually forgot that she didn't have a bra on.
Honestly, I'm infrequently wearing a bra because for those tatas, they don't need to be confined.
No. Mary does this weirdly coy thing where she like tries to cover herself up, but then runs around the desk and then like pulls up her skirt and bends over the desk like, oh, I'm so nervous. And then she's like, oh, but what if
I'm glad that she seemingly already understands that this is her Christmas present from her husband.
Oh, is that your theory?
That is my theory. I had a theory where maybe Santa was going to get cuckolded and like watch in a corner, but he must be really busy at the factory. So,
okay. Well, you will get answers on the present and Santa and Krampus.
But also she's being real fucking naughty. So like she could just deserve it.
Yeah. She's just horny, honestly. So she also is not wearing any underwear. That was another thing she forgot. And he proceeds to whip her over and over again. Now, I'm not sure how the sharp twigs can break open her clothing, but don't break open her skin.
Hard to say.
That's confusing.
It's all about the finesse of the whip, maybe.
Maybe. But Krampus does do that for a while. And then he turns her on her back and grabs one of the candles and does a little wax play.
That's fun.
On her torso. And this has to be taken from the book because you just kind of need to hear it in Lilith's words. Quote, when he had grown bored of using her as a canvas, he licked the small flame and his saliva ignited like gasoline. Flames lashed between his fangs as he grinned devilishly at her. So, anyway, fire breather, I guess. Okay, so he clacked his teeth, which I'm not really sure what clacking is. That like, I don't know if
maybe
you can hear me do that.
Is the noise I'm going to make for it.
So he clacks his teeth and like it extinguishes the flame, causing like a bunch of smoke to come out of his mouth. And then he like quickly kisses her and she, quote, tasted charred marshmallows and then like sucks on his tongue.
It just doesn't feel like a Krampus would taste like marshmallows, but I guess I don't have the experience to know.
You'll get some more Krampus descriptions that might counter the marshmallow thing here in a second. Mm-hmm. So he goes down on her and his tongue is like crazy long and like weirdly tapered at the end. So here is me again thinking that he's like in her intestines, like given to the ghoul style.
Right. Given to the ghoul style for sure.
And obviously if he's going down on her, the horns are there for her to use as a handlebar. Nice. Right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I should
steer the ship.
Yes. And in case you were wondering, I don't have an orgasm count for you because there are so many she's having. I think he ends up only having two, maybe three, but like, just so you know, there's orgasms.
That's funny because on my little note in the corner, I wrote gasm count and I'm just going to cross it right out.
Great. Excellent. No need. Everyone's happy. At one point she curses in the throes of passion and he's like, only bad girls use naughty words. And so he gets her on her knees and she's going to go down on him. Right. That's obvious.
Mean, yeah.
But he whips out his erection and it's described as red. Now, I don't know if that's supposed to be like just an erect kind of.
Just a penis that's red?
Penis that's like a little, you know, just got a lot of blood flowing down there. Or if it's like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer red. You
like,
know what I mean?
Like lighting up. Or if it's like Red Rocket.
Yeah. So she pushes his robe back and he's got the body of a man, but is extremely hairy and chiseled.
Uh-huh.
Quote, okay, this is where the next description I think is important. Quote, the wiry black hair on his goat legs was rough, ungroomed, and smelled of grave dirt.
You know, because grave dirt has an odor different death. From all other dirts.
I have to imagine it's death incarnate. So,
little kid dirt.
Yeah. So while she's going down on him, she grabs his sack and, quote, Mary treated them like the most delicate ornaments, the most unique snowflakes.
She just held them?
Well, I mean, she fondles them.
She's like, I just kind of cupped them nicely.
Just
for those of you
really
who
nice.
Obviously can't see this, we're cupping the air nicely.
Yeah. So when he's finished, he goes to kiss her, but then his crazy tongue swirls around and cleans up her entire mouth of his excess.
Thank you.
But he's not done yet because he gets her back on that desk and puts a sack over her head and binds her arms with one of his chains. And when he enters her, he says, noisy girls are naughty girls.
Oh.
And of course, we've got those twigs and we've got to use them. So he's whipping her again. Mm-hmm. Hope, do you remember when I told you about nodding?
Yes, I do.
Would you mind explaining what nodding is?
No, I don't want to do it again. Like I didn't want to do it the first time.
Okay.
It's just when your dong gets stuck in there to kind of help get the semen in there to really in. usually it's like a to ensure a pregnancy thing.
Yes.
That happens in nature.
So there's, yeah, it like grows a bulge at the base of the penis to make sure you can't pull out too early. Krampus does not inside of her. And, you know, Mary's getting the itch to do something naughty. And she's not really feeling all the effects of this intercourse. So she kind of is like, I've got to do something naughty to make him really punish me. So she like shakes her head and kind of tosses the sack off of it, off of her head. And so she can see. And she sees them in the mirror that's mounted above the mantle. And she's watching what he's doing, which is turning her on. But now Krampus has to punish her for taking off the sack.
It's so naughty.
So he pulls out not and all.
Oh, like that seems like it would really hurt everyone
out.
That seems bad for everyone.
Yeah. And it's like excruciating pain, but like also she likes it.
Sure.
And then he pulls out and then turns her around and goes back to Pound Town. And they finally both reach the orgasm to end all orgasms with multiple micro orgasms to follow.
Nice. Shockwave.
This is a wonderful quote by our girl, Mary. Quote, 360 something days of being pent up like a reindeer in a barn, wrapped up like a present, complete with a little satin bow. She was a Roman candle, liable to go off in an instant. She was a Christmas cracker set to pop under just the right, just enough tension.
Break you with a friend and make a wish.
Yeah. If you don't know, listen to the last episode.
Also, brief interlude update to tell you that I was recently in a store with so many Christmas crackers to buy, and not one of them mentioned making wishes on the back. And I would know because I looked on a lot of different ones.
I have seen a lot of Christmas crackers now that we talked about them last
not
episode.
A wish in sight. Anyway, proceed.
When he finishes on her, she says she, quote, felt like a gingerbread cookie being glazed with sticky, creamy icing, which if you want that book, again, we have Come Cookies and Cream.
It turns out Naughty Mrs. Claus is a book promoting the old episodes of our podcast.
Episode 18. Okay, so then later they're curled up in each other's arms and she's like, that was unbelievable, even better than last year. And Krampus is like grinning and being like, I learned some new tricks just for you. Did you like the fire? And she was like, that was amazing. And then she goes to the cupboard. She's like, I almost forgot. And she gets a big bottle of schnapps and gives it to him. And it's like, Merry Christmas. And he's like getting ready to go. And she's like, same time next year. And he's like, depends if you're a good girl or not. And then he leaves and then jump forward again. And she's sitting in bed when her husband Mr. Claus comes in carrying a silver tray of cookies and tea, and he's like, I trust you enjoyed your present. And she's like, yes, thank you, is just what I needed. And he gives her the tea for her sore throat.
incredible.
So you
the
were
problem is just that Mrs. Claus gets super horny like for a year and just holds it in until Christmas.
Maybe it's one of the, well, first of all, can we just say how progressive it is that, you know, they have an open relationship enough to have a friend who comes and role plays with her during their busiest time of year, you know?
Truly, probably the hardest time to get on the schedule, if I had to guess.
That's what I'm thinking. So I don't think it's like a whole year of being pent up necessarily. I think it's like a, ooh, this is a really busy time and I've just been so good all year and my husband doesn't really like doing these things in bed, so we found our friend who's going to do it for us.
True.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
So that is our book. How do you feel?
I feel excellent.
I thought it was a little fun twist at the end. I was worried I would have to put infidelity in the like trigger warnings, but technically it's not.
But it sure isn't. It definitely isn't.
So,
that's so funny.
Diversity. We had no real description other than the white hair and the 18-year-old body. But I think just it was very fun to see a little like kind of thruple-y type situation.
Relationship diversity is great.
Relationship diversity for sure. Plot. They kind of gave us a Hail Mary plot. I really didn't think there was going to be a plot. And then the whole idea is that she gets banged once a year by their friend Krampus.
Right. Yeah. It's just, you know, Santa is a very loving husband who is very busy and also may have diverging. Yeah. Interests.
Yeah.
Sexually from his wife. And so through the beauty of an open relationship and the friendship of Krampus.
I'm going to give it a 4. I think for a 20 page book, I'm very satisfied. You know, it felt like, again, a Hail Mary, but like, what? I don't know what else. Maybe I should give it a 5. Maybe I need to give it a 5.
I was going to say, I don't know that I would consider it a Hail Mary. You could have reasonably just like left that whole extra part out.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And you didn't have to. And I like that it's not there. I'll give it a 4. I love it.
Okay, I'm giving it a 5. You're giving it a 4. Mm-hmm. Smut, I'm giving a 5. We crammed so much into 20 pages. That was excellent.
We Krampused it into all those pages. I'll give it a 5 as well.
Wonderful. Hope there is the link to our naughty Mrs. Claus cover. Mm-hmm. Will you tell our friends a little bit about what it's about?
Yes. Well, first of all, I don't even know where I want to start. First of all, Mrs. Claus does not have white hair.
No, not in this one.
She's on this cover. She does not have white hair. My body didn't look like this when I was 18. I'll explain it. The background image will cover first. Kind of a blue and white effect. So like wintry, sort of a snowy effect. And you just kind of see the shadow of like a side profile of Krampus. There's big horns. Sort of a beast from Beauty and the Beast type. Side profile face, but you can't really see the features because it's just a shadow and like fangs and stuff, and he's pretty hairy. And then in front of him is Mrs. Claus, who is brunette.
First problem,
brunette. Not a problem, but like too sexy to be allowed. Not really. No, but it's just like it's a very beautiful woman. She's doing a cute little like side sexy pose. She's wearing a very low cut Santa top and like a cute, sexy Santa outfit, kind of like I assume the employee at the hardware store in the book that we talked about last week.
Yes,
I imagine this outfit,
absolutely.
But again, with like a Home Depot apron over it. And she's just kind of squatting and maybe has a Christmas order in her hand. I don't know what's going on with her arm.
I don't know what is going on with her hand either.
Nobody can say. And it's Naughty Mrs. Claus, A Krampus Tale.
Yes. I'm giving it a 3 out of 5. I really think we could have done more, but that's my personal opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll give it a 3.5 because I like that there's a lot of detail. It is crazy to me that this Mrs. Claus doesn't have white hair.
That is, yeah, if you're going to make that a point to say that in the book, then give us the full throttle. So that puts me at 86% and you at 83%. What is your, say smut, moment from this book?
I mean, the tail end of the story, like I did like a true jaw drop when, I don't know why, when they were like, haha, so fun, Merry Christmas, great to see you again, see you next year.
Yes.
So that inherently like say smutted me in like a not anything goofy and sexual kind of way. I feel like since I didn't read the like fury of sexual activity that these two had, that I probably missed some of the weirder things. Mostly, I guess I think it's weird that he's got any sort of taste that is marshmallowy or good.
Yeah, I think it was just like that
stinky
smoke.
And gross.
Yeah, I think if you put anything on fire that's already smelly like grave dirt, it's not necessarily going to give me marshmallow accents, if you know what I mean.
Not necessarily.
I will say the fire took me by surprise.
That seemed like a hazard.
Yeah.
I agree about the fire.
And definitely the like tongue sucking of the marshmallow thing for sure.
Oh yeah, it was nice that he used his tongue to clean out her mouth of his cum.
Yes, I would also agree.
Kind of in books that I think we've covered that I can think of. Sort of like a cleaning service when you're done.
Now that you know that, like, obviously it was all staged, it does make more sense. But when I was reading at the beginning and she was like, oh my gosh, he ripped my clothes open, and then like runs around the desk and then like bends over and is like, okay.
Yeah, I guess we should have known, because what a bizarre behavior to exhibit. Here's a different, I thought of a different say smut that I would like to raise flag, and it's the possibly sexual harassment that Mrs. Claus is pushing on all of her employees all the time by casually showing them her hoo-ha
and yes. like being horny around them when they're just trying to be little Christmas elves.
Who knows? Maybe the next one is that she's like fucking the elves.
I mean, if they've got like... an arrangement, I support that wholeheartedly. But I was a little concerned about her behavior towards a lot of Santa's employees.
It is the number one in the book. Okay, so the next one in the book series is Bratty Jack Frost.
Oh.
Then Pumpkin and Spice. Then Sinful Sugar Skull.
Oh.
Ghost of Krampus Past.
Maybe he returns.
Pot of Coal.
Oh.
Dubious Cupid. Down the Rabbit Hole. There's eight books in this series.
You know, we did Peeps last year, but there hasn't been a lot in terms of Easter spring smut.
Yeah, or St. Patty's. If we're talking about that pot of coal, I mean, like, I feel like that's a crossover for sure. No, I felt like this one just jammed, like I said, it's 20 pages and really it's 18 pages of like a flurry of activity.
Uh-huh.
So it's one of those that like, yeah, they get down and dirty and they go fast. So they included so much for 18 pages. So props to you, Lilith.
Good job, Lilith.
Thank you so much for the good time and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
If you so choose, sorry, I should tell you guys again that we are on Instagram and TikTok at Say Smut Podcast, mm-hmm. but you heard that earlier. And if you have book recommendations, send those our way via email at saysmutpodcast@gmail.com.
We have, please.
We have the rest of the year already lined up because it's holiday themed, but we are picking our stuff out for the new year. But if you so choose, pop us a rating or review on the podcast platform of your choosing. You know, enemies to lovers, this holiday season, you could be Santa, we could be Krampus.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a grand old time.
You could be Santa, we can be Krampus.
And our enemies to lovers.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot we invented enemies to lovers. I was using it from the context of the book, and it was like, and we will possibly pay you to bang our wives.
Well, get your cramp pussies out there and enjoy the holiday season. And stay smutty, everyone.
Stay smutty. Goodbye.
Bye.